Okay, we've got a treat for you today. Octavia is here. She's the genius behind my website, and today we're diving into all things design. Whether your site is a DIY or design built, she's sharing why your website actually matters so much more than you think. We're talking first impressions, SEO basics, and how to make your site feel like you and not a carbon copy of what every other photographer out there has. So grab your coffee or your Diet Coke and let's get into it.
Welcome to The Raw Edit, where we keep it real, raw, and ridiculously fun.
We're two photographers who've seen it all. Blurry shots, perfect poses, epic travels, and those WTF is this lighting moments.
Whether you're behind the lens, in front of it, or just trying to figure out what the heck raw files even are, this is the podcast for you.
We're talking about the good, the bad, and the unfiltered truths of building a photography business that doesn't just survive, it thrives.
Think travel adventures, tips that actually work, behind the scenes chaos, and maybe a little tea about what really goes down on shoots.
We're dishing out all the secrets from nailing your dream shots to running a business that doesn't make you want to cry into your SD cards.
No fluff, no filters, just real talk, a few laughs, and maybe a little chaos.
So grab your camera, your Diet Coke, and join us for the Raw Edit. All right, we are welcoming Octavia to our podcast today. So Octavia, introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them what it is you do, your specialty, your superpowers. What is it, girlfriend?
Hi, everyone. I am Octavia Elise. I am a show website designer, HoneyBook Pro, and Flowdesk partner. I help small business owners, specifically photographers, connect all the pieces for a magical client experience. That's it. It's literally just that simple. It took me a while to get that down packed. So I'm really excited about that part.
I love that. You're like a one-stop shop. Like, bring it all together, people. Bring it all together.
Yes. I like to tell people I help take their client experience from meh to magical. You know, it's like walking down Main Street with a Dole Whip type thing.
Let's start with the big question, Octavia. Like, why do you think a website is so important for photographers? What's your story on that?
Oh, let me count the ways. First of all, one of the biggest things, and I think a lot of us, you hear it all the time as a photographer, you don't own Instagram. So you don't own Instagram, you don't own Facebook or, you know, TikTok or Pinterest, all these platforms, right? We use them. These are great tools, but we don't own those things. So I think Mark Zuckerberg owns like most of them. So if he woke up tomorrow and he's like, I don't want to do this anymore, then a lot of photographers will be up the creek without a paddle, right? And so by having a website, that's the thing that you own. Your website and your email list is the thing that you own. And you could put what you want on it. You can control the algorithm. You control what they see. And it makes the Google gods happy, honestly.
Yes, it sure does. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see creatives making? What are mistakes that you see them make on their websites?
Usually a lot of the mistakes are on the homepage, right? Most of the time I do not see a location. I actually was speaking to a photographer literally like 2 days ago, and I was scrolling on her website because she just had it done by another designer, and we were, you know, she was like, can you just check it out? And so we were on the Beltline, and I was like, sure. And so I started scrolling. I said, where are you located? She was like, what do you mean? And she said, I'm here in Atlanta with you. And I was like, I know that, but when someone else is finding you online, they don't know that. They have no idea where you're located. She was like, I think it's at the bottom somewhere. And I was like, but that's not enough, right? It needs to be above the fold, which means before someone scrolls. At bare minimum, have your location there. Of course, your name would be great too, and what you do, but make sure your location there. There's nothing worse than getting all excited about working with a service provider, especially one that you need to be local, and then realizing that they are on the other side of the country. I have that problem a lot of times when I'm looking for someone to do my hair. I'm like, ooh, this person looks great. And then I'm like, but where are they located? Because it's not in their bio. It's nowhere. And they don't have a website. So that's one of the biggest mistakes. Another big mistake I see a lot of times is a lack of call to actions. Not enough buttons, basically. Not enough buttons on the website. They'll be kind of sporadic, but they're not enough buttons, or they're all different colors. And so it just makes it hard to identify a lot of times when you're looking for something, because you know, there are five different colors instead of, you know, like picking a color. I'm a big pick a color and stick to it across your website, your CRM, and your email marketing. But those are the probably two biggest mistakes I see a lot of times. Oh, you know what? Number three, not enough words. Not enough words. A lot of times, especially as photographers, they're like, oh, my picture should speak for themselves. Yes, your pictures are very, very great. But Google can only do so much with the photo. As much as we put in there, you know, like with the alt text and all that stuff. So they can only go based off the name and the alt text versus, you know, you actually describing what the experience is like with words. And, you know, not everybody can see as well. So you're talking about your limited accessibility to your site for all users.
Yeah. You designed my website for me, Octavia, and it feels like me. And I feel like when someone hasn't met you yet, your website is like their first meeting of you in a way, right?
Yes.
And kind of getting your vibe and like what you're like. How do you go about doing that with, you know, each photographer? Because everybody's a little bit different, right? I have to assume that you feel differently when you're doing different designs, right?
It's just a conversation. So I start off with a conversation and you can just kind of get someone's vibe from there. If they are a happy and vibey person or if they're kind of like low key and laid back. You know, a lot of times when we're talking about colors, just specifically colors right on the website, and we're talking about branding, a lot of times we want to, you know, like there's some theory behind it, right? You know, oh, what colors attract your ideal client? And I'm all for that. But then at the same time, if that color palette does not translate well to the person that you are, there's going to be a disconnect because I'll go to your website and I'm like, well, this is very neutral and kind of drab. And then you're this bubbly, happy person. It doesn't go well together. So a lot of times I just kind of go off vibes off the conversation. I'll, you know, ask questions like, hey, like, what do you like? And a lot of times following people on social media, you'll kind of see the type of person they are. If they're a super poster, if they're always happy and bubbly, if they're always wearing pink or green or blue and yellow versus someone who's always wearing black. You know, that tends to tell me a lot about the person and the vibe that their website needs to go in.
Yeah. And if someone is just getting started with website, what should they focus on? Is it the design first, the brand first, the copy? Like, where do you suggest people start?
I actually do not suggest you start on any of those things. I highly recommend you start at bare minimum with your client experience, your client journey. What do you want that to look like? Because that will dictate, you know, how your website is laid out. It will dictate, you know, how they reach out to you, because then that you need the CRM aspect of it. So my biggest thing at first, before we start anything, what is the client journey going to be like? What does that look like to you? How are they going to interact with you? How do you want them to interact with you? Once they are on your site, you know, where do you want them to go? Are you want to be more focused on the service pages or the portfolio or the blog? Are you going to have them fill out a contact form or you want to have them make a call? So all those things kind of start is at the top before you actually get to the design part. And that for me has just come with time, right? The more I work with people and when there is a disconnect, it's usually because there is a lack of client journey to even start with, to even dictate how the website will be laid out and how, you know, it will help convert clients for those people.
Yeah. When, you know, a lot of things pop up when you're talking about website, and SEO is definitely one of the top ones, but unless you kind of know a little bit about websites and SEO, I mean, like you have no idea what they're talking about. Can you explain a little bit like why SEO is so important for people and their websites?
Yeah. So when you're talking about SEO, you are talking about how people are finding you. SEO stands for search engine optimization. So anytime someone's typing something into Google or Yahoo or Bing or, you know, I don't know what other people use, Safari, the people, when I say people, the little mechanisms in the background of those softwares, they have to be able to give accurate responses for those, right? And so that's where your SEO in comes in on your website. So if I am looking for a wedding photographer here in Atlanta, maybe I'm looking for a black wedding photographer or a female wedding photographer. Maybe I'm looking for one that's closer to my zip code, right? I'm going to type that into Google and then they're going to spit out all these things for me. Tell me all the photographers that meet that criteria. And you want to make sure that your website is optimized for that. So if you want to be found for like a small zip code, like if you, you know, especially when you're in a, like a, maybe like a rural area, you want to kind of be centralized. You want to make sure that is reflected on your website within the images, within the copy. And those are the two main parts that you want to make sure your SEO is attached. A lot of times people forget to name their images, especially photographers, right? They'll be John and Jane's wedding dash 15693219020 type thing, right? And Google has no idea what that is. Instead of saying, you know, small intimate wedding located in this city, maybe at this venue. Because sometimes people will be looking for a wedding photographer based off of the venue. And sometimes people don't even know they're looking for a wedding photographer, but they're looking at the venue and you've taken photos there, then they'll find you. So that's what it all boils down to, making sure that your images are tagged correctly, whether you, and with the title, the alt text scene, the description, which you can all do inside of your website platform, making sure that the keywords that you want to be found for and that people are actually searching for are in the copy. Those are the biggest things that you can really do for your SEO outside of, you know, like paid titles and, you know, descriptions of that. But those are the two biggest things that will really catapult your SEO to the next level.
Yeah. Is there like rules when it comes to website? Like, should you have like one H1 header, so many sub, like how, is there certain rules?
Yes, there are rules. And there's a hierarchy. Right. So clearly 1, 2, 3. That's the basics. Right. You're talking about H1s, H2s, H3s. H1s, you should only have one per page. You have no idea how many websites I go on and all of their text is H1s. So having an H1, you only have, want to have that one. You want that. That may be the main key focus. A lot of times people want to make it the name of their business. And I kind of go for the location based and what you do. So, you know, like Atlanta Family Photographer, I would make that my H1 instead of Octavia Lee's Photos, right? That's how I would operate. And then you talked about your H2s or like your headings, and H3s typically be subheadings. And then you got paragraph text. And then if it, you have some script, it's usually going to be a divider text. And that's typically how that goes. But you want to, for the most part, have to, you know, most of the time, I think most people are using like H2, H3s for headers and subheadings. You know, just depend on how the layout is of the page and that section on that page. But at the end of the day, you only need one H1. If you take nothing else away from this conversation, just go make sure that all of the, that on all of your pages, you only have one H1. If you, I don't care if you want to make everything else a paragraph. I mean, I do care, but again, the biggest thing is having one H1 header.
Yeah, I just had a SEO audit done on my website, just the homepage, and it came back. She's like, you have three H1s. And I'm like, what?
Really? Like, what?
Yeah, I did. And it was my little sidebar where it says subscribe and book. It's those were H1s. Oh, yeah. So oh, really? I immediately changed those and I'm like, okay, now I only have one H1. But I didn't know that. So I was glad that she did that audit. How often do you suggest that someone updates their website? Like, should you be looking at that once a year, every 6 months? Like, I know SEO gods are always looking at your websites.
Actually, they are not. Surprisingly, oh, they're not always looking at your website. No, they're not always looking at your website. They are, but they're not. They're not, you know, crawling your, what we consider crawling your website. That means they're going through and, you know, what is it? I want to say categorizing, but that's not the word that I'm
indexing.
Cataloging your website. Yeah. So basically, you know what I mean? Like indexing and cataloging your website to say that, hey, this is current information. This is the most current information from this website. So it's not 24/7. But I typically tell people at least once a quarter, just to kind of go make sure everything is still accurate. Cause a lot of times we will raise our prices and we'll forget to do that. You know, adding new images, because of course, when you're adding new content, that tells Google that you're still here, you're still relevant. And then that, you know, of course, assists with your SEO and being, you know, moving up the top of the list. And if you are blogging, you're updating your website every week or two anyways. So if you think about it like that, Yeah. And there are some people that say, you know, like, hey, you should totally go and index your website, you know, crawl your website every time you add a new blog post. I don't have that kind of time. But if you do, more power to you. But it is a good thing to do, you know, just to constantly tell Google, like, hey, this is new. But also, you know, think there's some power in just sitting still sometimes. But I tell people at least once a quarter, you know, have a SEO, I mean, not SEO, CEO admin day, and sit down and just kind of go through your site again, make sure all the links work. Especially if you have any affiliate links, making sure that they are all still working, because sometimes they'll change, especially if affiliates change the platform, then that means your link will likely change.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is there any section of the website, Octavia, that people overlook that it's actually very powerful? Like, is there, you know, like, because there's an About Me page and there's the blog page and all the things. Is there anything that you see people just not really using that they should?
Yes. Hold on one second. I think the thing that people mostly underutilize is their contact page. A lot of times we just throw our contact form on there and we call it a day. Adding some FAQs on that page would be really great, because again, at the end of the day, you never kind of know how someone got onto your website. Generally speaking, like, you, somebody might send them a link to just a certain page, or they will find maybe a pin that's, you know, going to a certain page, or, you know, even on Instagram, you'll send them to a certain page. But a lot of times I think a lot of people, they miss out on some of the stock that can be put into your contact page. Especially once someone fills out the contact page, you know, of course you should have a CRM with the contact form, and then it redirects. But even from there, it could redirect them, you know, you can have a message that pops up and says, you know, like, go check your inbox, or, hey, thanks for, you know, filling this out, you know, check out these blog posts, or whatever it is that you want them to do. Of course, you should also have an automated email, but I think that's a page that I think a lot of times people just kind of, they put the contact form there and then they out. They don't put, you know, like, their email address, because maybe someone needs to contact you for something outside of what's on your contact form. They don't put their hours that they're working, you know, the Monday through Thursday, you know, I'll give it back to you in for 48 hours, all that stuff. And just a welcome, just, hey, thanks for, you know, being inquiring about me, including a starting net price. I know that's like a hot topic, right? Do we or do we not include our pricing on our website? I'm all about transparency. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste your time. So, you know, at bare minimum, put a startup price, because I don't care what it is that you do. You know where people start at. You know that you're, even if they got the smallest insignificant thing, you know that it starts at $200 or $5,000. Like, there's no need for me. If I know that I have a budget of $3,000, why am I contacting you if you're a start at five? Like, nothing that you say to me on this call, because, you know, a lot of people are like, just get them on the call. Nothing that you say on this call is going to give me an extra $2,000, unless you know something I don't know. But again, having that transparency on the contact form is to me, is key.
Yeah. I have been on websites trying to find email addresses for people. Like, that is annoying. I'm like, dude, you're in business. Why can't I just want to email you, and I can't because I can't find it. Or, like you said, a location, like, just some of the simplest things, I'm like, are some of the most overlooked pieces of information on a website. Cause there is nothing more frustrating than when you're trying to get a hold to do business with somebody and you can't find their contact information. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Yep. Not at all. Cause not everything necessarily may be contact form related. You could be missing out on any number of opportunities, especially if you're an educator, where someone can't just send you an email, right? I mean, let's just be honest. Sometimes a good old-fashioned email still works.
Yeah. Yeah. Versus using Instagram that you said could be gone tomorrow.
Yes.
Which I feel like is one of those things that people like to use now to contact you. Mm-hmm. And I specifically had shut messaging off on my Instagram because I'm like, guys, I've got email, I got a phone. Like, please contact me via those two ways versus one. I feel like sometimes there's five different ways you can contact me, but I prefer a phone or an email because I know I'm going to get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, for me, I think I prefer, you know, like, if it's a client or potential client, you know, of course, contact form, because they're just automations that are set up. But otherwise, you know, a good email, I mean, some people have my phone number, Kelly does. But for the most part, I don't give out my phone number. A lot of times my phone's on do not disturb. So then people think I'm ignoring them, and the whole time I didn't get a call at all. But at the end of the day, you know, I know I'm going to check my email, you know, during my business hours, which is why it's important to put it on your contact, on your contact page and on the form and on the follow-up email and everywhere else. So that way they'll know when to expect to hear from you.
Yeah. Is there any tool that you, like, if I wanted to check my website to see, you know, what are my H1s and all that, is there a tool out there that you can use to do that, Octavia?
There is a Chrome extension. I believe it's called Headings Map, because I have it up now on your website because I was curious when you said
you
that.
You were checking it out, weren't you?
Yes. You still have some H1 headers on.
So yeah, because I haven't updated anything yet.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, they're still there. Okay. But anyway.
No, I haven't.
Okay. I'm like, girl, this is still here. But
yeah,
I don't know
it
if
is. So anyway, heading okay. maps? Heading
yes,
maps,
heading
you
maps.
Said?
Yes, it is a Chrome extension. You can just add it to, you know, like your Chrome if you go into the Chrome extension and look for it. That's typically what I use when I'm, even when I'm auditing someone's website, that's the first thing I do. I just pull that up and it'll tell me all their H1s, H2s, H3s. Yeah, I think that's it. That's the only one that I really use for that. Now that I think about it, that is the only one I use, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to run that on my site through all my pages. I just did an SEO audit on my homepage and she came back with that. I'm like, oh shoot, I wonder how many more H1s I have on all my other pages. So I'm going to have to run through that.
Yeah, I think that was the only thing.
Hey photographers, Sarah here. Are you ready to level up your skills and build the business of your dreams? Whether you're just starting out or you're feeling stuck in the middle of your journey, my mentorships are designed to give you the tools, confidence, and strategies you need to succeed. I know firsthand how overwhelming it can feel to navigate the world of photography, balancing client work, learning editing techniques, and marketing yourself all at once. Maybe you're struggling to book the right clients or you're spending hours editing and still not loving the results. You're not alone, and that's where my mentorships come in. I've designed personalized one-on-one sessions tailored to your specific needs. Whether you're mastering your camera settings, nailing consistent editing in Lightroom and Photoshop, or creating efficient workflows to save time, we'll focus on the areas that matter most to you. This isn't a cookie cutter course. It's a fully customized experience designed to meet your goals. You'll learn actionable strategies that you can implement immediately to see results in your business. Plus, you'll get insider tips on how to find light, pose with confidence, and build a standout client experience, things I've perfected over years of photographing high school seniors and beyond. I've been where you are, and I know what it takes to go from feeling overwhelmed to running a business that not only thrives, but feels fulfilling. My mentorships are all about helping you fast track your success while avoiding the mistakes I made along the way. Are you ready to invest in your business? Let's make it happen. Head to smunsonphotography.com to learn more and book your mentor session today. Don't wait. Your next breakthrough could just be one call away. You don't have to figure it all out on your own. Let's work together to build the photography business you've been dreaming of, one step at a time. Now let's get back to the episode.
What's one quick fix that photographers can do, like, today? Maybe it's going to the headings map and just double checking on that. But what is one thing that you suggest they do just to level up their site? Like, if they want to just do something simple to take it to the next level, what is something you recommend?
That is a loaded question because there is, there are many singular things, put it like that. I can't think of just one, but there are many singular things because if I tell you one, then I'm going to tell you the 50 other ones, right? One thing, again, at bare minimum, having a way to nurture people on your site would be great. That's the one thing you can do. If you have email marketing, making sure that you have a place, not a pop-up. I'm not a fan of pop-ups. If you have a pop-up on your site, I will automatically probably go away. I just don't like them. I use them, but I don't like them. I know, we're this thing right. But again, one of the biggest things, having a way to continue to nurture and connect with people outside of just contacting you. So having a section on your website that lets them join your email list. That is the one thing, that is one thing that I really want photographers to really, really start to hone in on, is having a way to connect with them outside of, you know, your website. Put a section on your website that just lets them get on the email list at bare minimum, not because they need a freebie. Yes, the freebies are nice, right? Opt-ins. People want something in exchange for their email. But if you don't have one, at least invite them to join your email list. That's like one thing that you can do. And then from there, you know, you just nurture and have conversations with your potential clients.
Yeah, I like that. You're really good at making people's websites feel very personal to them. What are steps that other photographers could do to make it feel, you know, more like them and not like another photographer in the industry? Because I think we always want to stand out, right? And I mean, obviously the photography is great, but I think there's other ways that your website could stand out, don't you think?
Yes, be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. It is very easy to fall into this space, especially when I'm talking about websites, a lot of times with the neutral colors, it is so easy. It's easy. And a lot of the templates are neutral in color. So it's easy just to stay there. But if that's not who you are, then be who you are, be unapologetically you on your website. If you use bad words, you know, by all means use bad words on your website. That's not me, but there are people that, you know what I mean? But that's who they are. If you are like Diet Coke, then talk about that. Have pictures of you with Diet Coke, because there are the number of people that tell me that they choose to work with me because I stand out, because my site is not neutral in color. I will happily wear Disney ears to a call. I have a pom-poms here. You know, I talk about my cats and dogs. Like, who I am as a person matters to the people that decide to work with me. And the same thing for photographers. Who you are as a person is what people are drawn to, because a lot of us take pictures. I mean, there's a photographer on every corner there. I mean, we all know that, right? There's a photographer on every corner. But the one thing that photographer on the corner does not have that you do have is you. Be yourself. Like I said, the brand colors, they're really pretty because they're all neutral. But if it's not who you are, because I promise you, I've tried this. I tried to do the neutral thing. This was years ago, pre-pandemic. Because I was like, well, everybody else is neutral. So that's what I'm supposed to be with my photography and with design. I did all of the things. I went and changed my whole wardrobe. I really dumbed myself down. Let me tell y'all a quick story. I'll never forget. And it all started because I was dating this guy at the time. And he told me I was too loud, not like voice loud, but, you know, because I wore lots of pinks and my nails were always pink, but my toes would always be like blue and yellow. I was always changing the colors. Right. But it's like who I am. I love color. But he told me I was too loud. And so that stuck with me for a very long time, and I dumbed everything down. And then that's when I really started honing in on my business. And I took that into my business mindset of being, you know, less colorful, too loud for everybody. And then I stopped and I started being true to myself. I like pinks and blues and yellows and greens. And guess what my brand colors are? Pinks, blues, and yellows, and greens. And my people find me, even people that have neutral tones, they still like the fact that I am who I am. So if you want your website to stand out, because again, like I said, all of us take pictures, be yourself. Make sure your personality is really shining as much as possible when it comes to your website, whether that's you making a gif of yourself, like dancing. My cousins will tell you whenever we go out in public, which they tell me to sit down, I'm not allowed to dance because they tell me I dance like Michelle Tanner. I'm usually like this the whole time. you know, when she had her fingers up and she's dancing. I actually do that in real life, or I do this whole, you know, like shimmy thing like this, just like Michelle Tanner. And they tell me to sit down, but that's who I am. And you know, they know that about me, and I want my clients to feel the same way, potential clients to feel the same way, that I am just, you know, a friend, a person you can call. I don't care if you need to have like business conversation or personal conversation. I want to be relatable. Right. And same thing with my clients. I hope that I can do the same thing, you know, because my clients typically turn out to be my friends. I've had like two that we it was just work, but that's just who they were. But when I'm talking about like actual friends, like I've made friends with my clients. Like we talked, like I had a potential client the other day and I was telling them about Kelly's site and I was showing her because her site was drab and I met her and her personality did not match your site. Her site was very neutral and drab and boring. And I was like, girl, this is not you. And I showed her Kelly's website and I was talking about Kelly. And then I was on Kelly's site and I was like, girl, I did not do this. I don't know who did this. I said, this is cute. You did something. Oh, you made a pageants page, but something was off. So I was like, well, I'm just going to go in here and fix it. And I'll tell her about it later. But the point was, she was like, oh, you do that. I said, if I go on your site and I know that I built it and I still have access to it, I am going to go fix it. Because I want you to show up as your best person. Two, my name is at the bottom of this. Three, this has now become my friend. Because, you know, like, I know she likes Diet Coke. Like, if I ever get her anything, I mean, I'll probably get her a life-size Diet Coke one day. You know, but because that's her personality. I've learned that from her that this is, you know, what makes her happy. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Stand out, be bold, be you, be unapologetically yourself.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. And I feel like photographers get in that trap where they're always got to follow the trend, got to follow what other people are doing. And next thing you know, we all just look like a bunch of minions out there standing around. And who's going to be that minion that's going to stand up and be seen? And I think your website does that. And I've even had, what was it? Someone told me, maybe it was like a year ago. They're like, you know what? People don't do business with businesses. People do business with people.
Yes.
And be the person and not the, like, show up as the person and not as the business. And I it's always kind of stuck with me. And I often remind my other business friends of that. I'm like, people don't do business with just business. They do it with people. Like, show up as yourself and let people know who you are, because they're going to be attracted to you and not your product or your business.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. You know, I don't know if you guys have felt this way, but I know for me, I struggle a lot because I worry that I'm too old, right? I'm too old to be doing this. I'm like, I'm 40. And, you know, you see, I mean, you guys know we're around the same age, right? And we see these teeny boppers and they are, you know, in a completely different place than we are. And I'm just like, how are they 25 and they're making eight figures? I've been doing this, you know, for X amount of years or whatever. And but then I have to realize that's their journey and those are their people. And then but I still have to be myself. Like you said, I don't want to be a minion in the, you know, in the group. I want to be, you know, the one that sends out the rocket ship and all the things. But I know it's something that I've struggled with myself, trying to fit in or, you know, trying to keep up with the 25-year-olds. And but it's just not me. Like, I don't have that kind of time. Y'all live a different lifestyle. I am old and I am okay with that. And I sit still and I watch Criminal Minds and it makes me happy. But yeah, I really try to just be myself.
I love that about you. You're always just being yourself. Yeah. Love it. Octavia, how can our listeners work with you? What are some of the, like you mentioned a little bit of it, what are some of the things that you offer to other photographers? I know I've done an audit with you, a honeybook audit. Yep. Yeah. What are kind of things that you can do?
So of course, you know, short website design, I mostly do template customizations, honeybook setups. You can get a full setup. I will go in and set your whole honeybook up. Same thing with Flowdesk. I'll go in and set that whole shindig up for you as well. And the biggest thing I think for me is when I get to work with a client and they do all three, because it's completely seamless across all three platforms. It's the best feeling ever. Those are some of my favorite clients when I can do multiple things for them. And of course, like you said, you know, I offer power hours, which is, you know, you can do a honeybook audit, you can do a website audit. We can just kind of go over all the things, that you feel like you need help in. So it's an hour of time. But those are the four ways that anyone can work with me.
Yes, people should reach out to you. They won't regret it. I love my website now.
I do too. I love it. I'm always going to your site and Kate Wark lately.
Yep.
Yep. I just finished out her and we're just getting some images changed up. And those are the two that I've been pulling up lately. And of course, I always pull up Sabrina's.
Yep.
And I'm just to show people that it's okay to be colorful. Like, That's really, I mean, honestly, the more colorful you are, you stand out. I mean, I know that's one thing I love about your podcast graphics. They are colorful and they are there. I'm very much attracted to them because I like color. I'm like, oh, it's not like I'm scrolling. I see this black and white thing and I just keep going. I'm like, oh, look at these pretty colors. What is this?
Yeah. That's awesome. We love it too. Awesome. All right. Do we want to end with Octavia's non-negotiable?
Yes.
All right. So we ask all of our guests what their non-negotiable is. So it could be personal, it could be business, it could be whatever it is. Kelly's, what was your non-negotiable?
Outsourcing, but specifically the cleaners. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
What's your non-negotiable?
My non-negotiable is bad character. That is my non-negotiable in all the things that I do. In all aspects of life, if you have what I feel is a bad character, I will not work with you. I don't care what you do, where you can put me. If your character does not make my spirit smile, I will not work with you. Bad character is a non-negotiable. I can't, because my conscience won't let me. I can't. Bad character is a non-negotiable. That's the one thing. Like, I have someone that I'm currently about to disconnect from because they've shown some things that character-wise, and I'm like, you moving funny, so let me move out your way. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Bad character, non-negotiable, hands down.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that.
That is.
Don't have what time. Don't want to waste. Mine's AI. Mine is using AI. Yeah. Letting AI help with editing, culling. Love mm-hmm. me a good ChatGPT prompt to help with all the things. Right now, it'll probably change in a few months, but right now it's AI. I love it. It's great.
I agree.
All right. Well, this was Octavia. Awesome. Yeah, this was awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. It's Good Friday, so we'll let you go and enjoy the Good Friday and Easter weekend. But thank you so much for joining us. This was awesome.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Awesome. All right. We'll see you later.